Oh, we're beginning a new sefer. It's very exciting, and there is so much to talk about in Parshat Shemot. It's delightful. We've talked about the very bizarre encounter at the lodge with Moshe, where Moshe almost dies. We've talked about the whole scene at the Sneh, the Gadol, sort of the broader view of it, and the structure of that parsha. We've talked about the midwives, who the midwives were, and what it means to say that that he made houses for them, and what are these houses? So much in here, and something that we have always ignored, but we're going to deal with today, is Moshe's speech. Or as some people would like to say it, Moshe's speech. Because of the following line. Please take a look at source 2. Source 1 is there for a reason in its place, but source 2 is where we start. Hashem is talking to Moshe at the Sneh. As far as we're concerned, this is the first time that Moshe has had a prophecy. Moshe is about 80 or so, as we find out through the time. And Moshe is shepherding for Yitro, who is either his father-in-law or brother-in-law. And he goes beyond the grazing area to this desolate Israel.
Where's Kamar Hashem in this
question? Oh, Kamar Hashem B'nei V'chori Yisrael. But thanks for asking. Nobody ever asks about my headaches. Thank you.
I always ask about the headaches.
Okay.
That means to get it in sometimes.
Yeah. So thank you. I put it in there so you'd ask. Right. Okay. It's kind of like Karpas. Right. Don't ask. So, what? Yeah. Komar Hashem B'nei V'chori Yisrael is after this scene. It's when Hashem talks to Moshe about going to, when he's about to go to Mitzrayim. Total power Komar Hashem B'nei V'chori Yisrael. And then the point where Moshe is under threat in the Malon happens. All right, good. So now, Hashem has been talking to Moshe. Moshe has been saying essentially one word, which is no. And Hashem gives him signs, and Hashem gives him some magic to do, as it were. And then, Vayom Moshe al Adonai bi Adonai. Lo ish devarim anochi. What does that mean? Lo ish devarim anochi. What does that mean? I'm not a man of words. What does that mean, I'm not a man of words? Have limited lexicon? Well, let's see if we can get some more. Gam mitmol, gam mishilshom, which is a pretty poetic thing to say if you're not very erudite. Gam miyazdabercha elavdecha. And I'll be honest with you, that's actually the phrase that had I not wanted to pique Harold's interest, I would have put it at the top of the page. Gam miyazdabercha elavdecha. But I am not a man of words, not mitmol. What does mitmol mean? Yesterday. Gam mishilshom, which means 2 days ago. So I haven't been a man of words for the last 2 days. He's about 80 years old. That's a little bit of a weird thing to say. I've lived my whole life, but for the last 2 days I haven't spoken too well. It's a little strange. All right? Gam miyazda berchai alavdecha. And that's the phrase that really is bizarre. Not only that, but from the moment that you have spoken to me, I have not been a man of words. I'm going to have to share. Okay. Now, what does that mean? This is the scene where Moshe has Nevuah for the first time. So what does it mean to say, I am not a man of words, not mitmol gam mishilshom, which itself is bizarre. Because for a man that old to say that for the last 2 days I haven't been speaking very well doesn't sound like a very reasonable argument. But then Gam Miyazda Berach Alavdecha says, and ever, not only yesterday, not only the day before, but ever since you started talking to me. What the heck is that about? Very, very strange statement.
How long have they been talking at this point?
For a few minutes. This is all the scene. All right, Kichvad Peh Uchvad Lashon Anochi. And that, of course, is the phrase that sets us off. I am kvad peh uchvad lashon. What is that little translation of that? And I didn't put translations because, A, there wasn't room. I worked hard to jam this in. But also because I want to leave this kind of open. Kvad peh uchvad lashon means? What? Little translation.
Heavy
of mouth, heavy of tongue. A little strange thing. Kvad peh kvad lashon. Now, it seems to refer to a thing about speechability. However, is it a medical, biological issue? Is it an issue of erudition? Is it an issue of presence? For that, we have machloket rishonim, what is being referred to, and we're going to see a couple of those opinions here. But somehow he says, I can't speak. God answers, Vayomer Adonai Elav, Mi sam pe la adam, o mi asum ilayim, o cheresh, o fikeach, o iver, halo anochi Adonai. Who do you think makes some men deaf and other men capable and unmen can speak? And right? That's me. Which, if you think about it, isn't really much of an answer. Because remember, this entire thing is a wooing. Hashem is wooing Moshe to take a job. He's ordering him. Moshe keeps saying no. So he says, okay, I'll be with you. Okay, here's a sign. Okay, here, take a stick and take the water. All of these things that are there to encourage Moshe that he'll be okay going. And then, when Moshe says, but I can't speak, Hashem says, well, who do you think's in charge of speech anyways? Which, if you think about it, doesn't answer the question. Said, okay, fine, you're in charge of speech, and you didn't do a good job on me. I mean, it doesn't really answer the problem. So he continues as follows. Ve'atalech, you go, ve'anochi ayeh im picha v'riticha asher tedaber. I'll be with you, and I'll show you what to say. Now, what does that mean? And how is that a response to his complaint or his protest? Anochi ayeh im picha means I'll be with your mouth, which sounds like, even though you have some difficulty speaking, I'll override him with you. What?
Go now.
Right. I'm sorry, I was channeling Mr. Itzkovitz. And now you go. Now, but lech is you, go. But v'horitich asher tedaver is not overriding the medical reality. It's horitich asher tedaver means I'll tell you what to say. It sounds like Moshe's complaint was, I don't know how to put good words together to convince people. Hashem says, I'll give you the words. Okay, but we're still in the dark here about what it is that Moshe's condition is and how Hashem is responding to it. And it moves on. And so Moshe's response is, I still don't want the job. It sounds like send with the one that you normally send with, which is a little bit strange. I'm sorry, it's very strange, because there's no history of sending here. In other words, send the one you normally send. Normally, we haven't done that yet. We've never done a sending. There has never been in history anybody who was sent. Everybody has either been commanded, talked to, but not sent on a mission. This is the first time I'm sending anybody to do anything. So shlach naviyat tishlach can't mean that. We send with somebody else. Send with somebody who will go. And God gets angry, and God says, okay, Aharon will come. Please take a look at the words about Aharon. V'yicharaf Adonai Moshe, v'yomer halo Aharon achicha halevi, yadati ki daber yedaber hu. What does yadati mean? I know that. What daver yedaver? What does that mean? He can talk. He will talk. Unclear. Does it mean I know that you can't talk, he could talk. Or even you don't want to talk, he'll be agreeable to talk. It's all very murky.
He speaks and will speak.
What?
Daver yedaver. He speaks and will speak.
But daver yedaver means he will indeed speak. Like boya vovarina. It's that form. But the question is, what does it mean? Does it mean he's spoken in the past? But there has been no past. Hashem never sent Aaron that we heard of. There's been no mission to Paro or anybody else that we know of. So yadati, good. God knows what's going to happen. God doesn't need a past to figure out the future. That's fine. But daber yedaber hu, Aaron indeed will speak. But does that mean that he's willing and you're not willing? Or does that mean he's capable and you're not capable? And it all comes back to the same question about what's Moshe's problem. Well, let's see. and so he says, Vehidibarta ilav, Vesamtata dvarim befiv. Now we're starting to get a clue as to what might be the issue. You speak to Aharon. You'll tell him and put the words in his mouth, which, by the way, where are you going to get those words from? I already told you I'm going to tell you the words. So I'm going to tell you the words. You tell Aharon the words in his mouth. Then I'll be with him and you. And I'll show both of you what to do. Which, by the way, if you think about it, makes Moshe absolutely redundant. Because Hashem is speaking to Moshe, and Moshe is telling Aaron, and Aaron's the one speaking. Moshe's place here is a little bit odd. The whole thing is getting weirder and weirder. V'diberhu lecha el ha'am. And he will speak for you to the people. And by the way, who is it Moshe has to speak to? Paro and the people. He has to convince Paro to let them go, and he has to convince the people that they're ready to go and to go and to follow him. You'll be his mouth, he'll be your messenger, as it were. Right? You'll be his God, he'll be your mouthpiece. Right? So, and that's in speaking to the people. So it sounds like Moshe's afraid of speaking to the people. The Paro thing hasn't come up yet, but that's going to come up too. So this is where things end. Where things end in this scene is, and we saw this a bunch of years ago, we took a look at the whole down spiral from the very powerful opening image of you're going to go and you're going to pull them out, you're going to bring them to a beautiful land, to, okay, take Aaron and we'll get him out of slavery and we'll be happy with that. It's like the lowered expectations every step of the way. But yeah, that's where we end up. A little bit later, at the beginning of Parshat Va'era, we hear a phrase twice. Up until now, the one phrase that we've got to contend with is Kvad Peh Uchvad Lashon. Heavy of mouth, heavy of tongue. At the end of Parshat Shmot, Moshe has come to the people. They get all excited. Moshe comes to Paro, and Paro says, the heck with you. I'm going to make the work harder. You guys are lazy, etc., etc. And Moshe then comes out, and they're all complaining against Moshe. Moshe comes and complains to God, says, you sent me, and things have gotten worse. And Hashem says, you just wait. Well, just wait and see what's going to happen. And then Hashem says to him, go tell Bnei Israel, we talked about the Lashonot HaGeulah in the past. And at the very end of that scene, of that piece, we have Vayidaber Moshe Kenel Bnei Yisrael. So Moshe says this to Bnei Yisrael. Time out. I thought Moshe wasn't going to talk to Bnei Yisrael. I thought Aaron was going to talk to Bnei Yisrael. Now Moshe talks to Bnei Yisrael. V'lo shamu el Moshe mikotzurach me'avodah kasha. They couldn't even hear it because they were so tired and so spent that it's like they didn't have the ability to listen to this. What happens? Vayidaber Adonai Moshe Limor. Bo daber al parach me'amlechitzvayim. Bo daber, meaning you come and speak. Not Aaron, you come and speak to Paro. Vishalach b'nei Yisrael me'artzo. What does our Moshe answer? Vayidaber Moshe l'fnei Adonai l'mor. And Moshe uses a kal v'chomer. Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. B'nei Yisrael aren't even listening to me. As we just saw in the Pasuk, I told them we're going to leave and they can't hear me. V'eich yishmeini Paro. How will Paro listen to me? V'ani aral s'fatayim. Or as I like to do quietly when I'm leaning. V'ani aral s'fatayim. Nobody like the Gabbai gets it. Okay. But now, is Anir al Sfatayim a second statement or part of that statement? In other words, is he saying, Bnei Yisrael aren't listening to me? How will Paro listen to me? Plus, beyond that, I have difficulty with speech, whatever the difficulty is. Is it a stammering or a lisping, or is it something else? Something inability to speak? Or is he saying that's the reason? Bnei Yisrael aren't listening to me. Kal v'chomer Paro won't listen to me because, after all, I'm aral sfatayim. You know, this is two separate reasons or it's all one thing? That's unclear. But this is what Moshe is saying. But notice that Aaron's fallen off of the picture here. Moshe is the one speaking directly to Bnei Yisrael. Moshe is supposed to speak directly to Paro. And Moshe again protests and says, I can't go. The next piece is that genealogy. If you remember, at the beginning of Vayera, there's this interjected genealogy. It gives us Reuven's kids, Shimon's kids, very quickly, and the Levi's kids, very much in detail, in order to give us the yichus of Moshe, Aharon, and actually gets Pinchas in there. Elazar and Pinchas gets thrown in there also, so we get the whole leadership family, as it were. And at the end of that parsha, we have the following: Vayidaber Adonai Moshe Limor, the end of source 4. Ani Adonai, Daber al Paro Melchitzvay Mikol Asher Ani Dover Elacha. Go tell Paro everything I'm telling you. Vayom Moshe Lifnei Adonai Hein Arni Aral Sfatayim Echishma Elai Paro. So here again, Moshe says, Ani aral sfatayim. Right? So what are we to do with this phrase, aral sfatayim? What are we to do with kvad lashon? Do we have three different descriptions, two or one? Is aral sfatayim one thing and kvad peh, kvad lashon another thing? Is kvad peh one thing and kvad lashon is another thing and aral sfatayim is a third thing? one's mouth, one's tongue, one's lips? Do they all more or less mean the same thing? Means that he can't speak very well? Are they to be understood as medical or biological problems or something else? These are all questions that the truth is taking them apart would take hours. But there's another piece to this puzzle which is very bizarre. At the very opening piece that we saw in source 2, Moshe says, Lo ish dvarim anochi, which is not the same. And ish dvarim doesn't speak to oral ability or to whatever you would call it, and your mouth working right. It speaks to lexicon, it speaks to erudition, it speaks to oratory. And then Moshe throws in this line, which I think is really a very bizarre one, which is, Gam mitmol, gam mishalshom, which again, if you take it literally, just means, yesterday and the day before, I don't speak very well. Strange line. Except that what does tmol shalshom mean in Tanakh? It means since ever. Since ever. So even though there's a famous Rashi here that quote, and every Rashi is famous, the Rashi here quotes the Midrash as saying, Gam mitmol, gam mishalshom. Tmol is one day, gam adds another day, shalshom is two more days, and therefore you get the idea that Moshe was at the Sneh 7 days, because he says, gam miyazda berchal avdecha, meaning I've been here for a whole week, and I still don't speak very well, but that's so difficult to read in pshat, that this scene is taking a week as opposed to the half an hour that it looks like. And we're the sheep in the meantime, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of problems with reading it that way, but the simple flow of this is it's an ongoing conversation. And but what's gam miyazda berchal avdecha? That's the part that's really weird. I have not spoken well. Gam mitmol gam mishalshom. We'll take the biblical idiom, which tmol shalshom means since ever. Yoshua, Paragimel, tells the people, when the Aaron marches to cross the Yarden, keep a distance because you don't know how to go there because lo avartem baderach hazeh mitmol shalshom, which means you've never been here. Doesn't mean the last 2 days you haven't been here. You've never been here. So gam mitmol gam mishalshom is an idiom for saying I've never spoken well. Fine. But what's gam
miyazda? Gam miyazda be, but nothing's changed since I met you.
But I met you 5 minutes ago. What's the big deal? Like, what would you expect to change? I understand. Some rishonim say it that way. Even though you've been speaking with me, I still haven't gotten better. Better at what? That's the issue. But another key problem here is, how does Moshe know he's not an Ishtvarim? In other words, what is it that Moshe's been doing for the past X amount of years? And we've talked about that a couple of years ago, about where are all the years here? When did Moshe hit the Egyptian and run away? So the simple read of it is, like the Ramban says, that he was a teenager or 20 or so. And here he's 80. So where was he the whole time? So we suggest the whole time he's been in Midian and been wandering and doing whatever sort of stuff to make himself into a Navi, maybe deliberately, maybe not. But when has he ever had a chance to be an Ishtvarim that he knows he's not? So it's important to note that the Rambam that I didn't have room to put on here, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, says something that's echoed by the Rashbam. So I want to show you the Rashbam here right away, just so we kind of put ourselves on the page. Turn to that page, source 7. The Rashbam says the following, Ki chvad peh uchvad lashon anochi. He says, Eini baki b'lashon Mitzrayim. You know what chvad peh uchvad lashon means? I don't know how to speak Egyptian. B'chituch lashon, to say it properly. Ki b'katnuti barachti misham. I was very young when I ran away. And now I've been among Midianim. I forgot my Egyptian. V'yata ani ben shmonim, and now I'm 80. Hard to learn a language at that point. Right, and this, and he quotes a pasuk from Yechezkel, where Yechezkel actually used the same thing, that if somebody who doesn't know how to speak the proper language, doesn't know how to speak royal court of the language, in his case, it'd be Babylonian, would be lashon. And you show you how he uses a similar phrase. And then he says the following, and this is echoing the Rambam. V'chevshar navi asher yidau Hashem panim al panim. Can you imagine that the Navi, that Hashem spoke to face-to-face, more than anybody else, v'kibel Torah miyado liyado, and he handed the Torah from his hand to his. Hayam ingam gem b'lashono. Can you imagine that the most important human being ever to come on this world is defective? That's the way that the Rambam says it, and the way that the Rashbam is doing it, that he stutters. He says we do not find this idea anywhere in the Tanaim and Amoraim. You see, he notices that in some of the apocryphal traditions, this idea that Moshe stammered, and we'll see one of the sources for that, he says, pay no attention to that. And he says, therefore, kvad peh, kvad lashon, and therefore also aral shfatayim has to speak to erudition, to linguistic ability, and not to some medical condition. That's the Rashbam. Again, the Rambam's on the same page, many others are on the same page. The Ibn Ezra, you take a peek on your own, in source 6, doesn't like it at all. He says, no, he means he stammered. Got a problem speaking. But if we take the position that Moshe's inability is one of erudition, one of presence, one of oratory, how does he not know, how does he know that he's not an Ish Devarim? What's he been doing all this time? How many kingdoms has he been presented with addressing that he knows he doesn't speak well in front of crowds? How many times has he found that he doesn't really convince monarchs very well? How does he know that he can't convince a multitude of people he's going to lead them to freedom? What experience does he have to say, Lo Yishtoi Manochi? He doesn't know. That's a big part of the problem here in the entire scene. The commentators, both medieval and more contemporary, are really divided on this issue and take one of two, and then a subset of broad positions on the question. Is Aral Sfatayim / Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashon, whether the same or not, and that's an issue. Are they medical, or are they, shall we say, more cognitive, emotional issues? Is it his inability to get certain... The Ibn Ezra says something that I think is a little bit weird. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll take care of you, and it says, and I'm going to give you words to say that won't run into your speech difficulty.
Could you know, like, anything was to do with him being such a humble person?
So it could be, except that then that goes into subset. So there's position A, which is some medical, biological issue, even caused by what the famous midrash that you have at the bottom of page one is. Famous midrash that Moshe with the coals, you all know it, I put it on their seat and have it access to it, but that's part one. Part two is to say that it's some sort of erudition issue, and then part three is that it comes down to that it, sorry for saying it, that it's just not true, that Moshe is actually a great orator and speaks great, but he's humble. Which, by the way, is something to think about for a moment, because you ask somebody on the street, what did Moses sound like? And they're going to get stammering and they're going to make fun of him, all that kind of stuff, right? I say, how do you know that? Well, how do you know that? Because it says, he was of uncircumcised lips. I says, no, it doesn't say that. You know what it says? I am of uncircumcised lips. All three verses that we have in which Moshe is described as having a problem speaking are not the text. They're Moshe.
So what about
I know, I mentioned that. So that's one direction, right. So what Leah is saying is, that maybe Moshe speaks very well, but he's saying kvad peh kvad lashon because he's so humble. In other words, and to take into account, he's also trying to get out of a job. He doesn't want to take this job. And so he's saying the basic prereqs for this job, I don't have, because I don't want the job. By the way, he's not the only one to say this. Who else says this? Yirmiyahu says this. Who else says this? Ammo says this. Who else says this? Just many Nevi'im say this. Yeshayahu says it. What?
Yonah ran away,
and the question is that like a subset of the same thing of feeling incapable or not up to the job? So what do we do with all this?
Rabbi Lamb describes humility, though, as recognition that you have the strengths.
Right. The Gemara at the end of Sota.
But that...
Right.
Recognizing where those strengths came from. So that wouldn't align here, because Moshe would recognize that he has the strengths.
Right. And then we would understand the answer that, by the way, what you're saying, it fits very well with the answer. Moshe says, I can't speak, and God says, where do you think speech comes from? Then says, you know, as long as you get that right, that you understand your ability is coming from me, then that's fine. Beautiful. I think there may be something else going on here. But like I said, I was a little bit, as it happens, I'll tell you.
This is a safe place.
I don't sleep Tuesday nights. All right. Let's start with the first pasuk on the first page. Moshe is tending the flock of Yitro, whoever Yitro is, brother-in-law, father-in-law, tending the flock of Yitro. He's tending the flock, and he comes into the desert, and he passes the Midbar. Midbar doesn't mean desert. Midbar means actually grazing area, place the Lahadbir, the place where you lead them. All right, so he goes past Achar Midbar to a place called Chorev. What's Chorev mean? Desolate, wither, sear, dry. And he comes to a place called Har HaElohim. Why is it called Har HaElohim? It's going to be called, we're going to call Sinai. Why is it called Har HaElohim? So some of the Rishonim say it's called Har HaElohim because the Torah was only written after we got there. So, no, Ked is in Har Moriah. Har HaElohim is Har Sinai, but he says it could have been that it was Al Shem HaAtid. In other words, or another way of saying that is, Moshe actually only wrote it down much later. So, in reflectively, this is Har Elohim because this is where Mamon Har Sinai is going to happen. Or after Moshe had this vision and the snare, he calls it Har Elohim, but it doesn't say it in that order. It first says he comes to Har HaElohim Choreva. So this Sforno makes an interesting little comment. He says he came there lehit boded. He came there in order to meditate. So I'm going to take this Sforno and run with it a little bit further. Moshe has been in Midian for several decades, we'll say. He's been, for the most part, on his own, because we know that herding, sometimes they herd for weeks, separate from everybody. Okay, Moshe's been herding. Moshe's been doing all of this. And he's been in a place where meditation and reflection are really accessible. It's a Middle Eastern version of Walden. It's just lots of nature around, lots of emptiness. You're not bothered by anybody. Is there a reason for us to be absolutely convinced that the Sneh was the first time that God spoke to Moshe?
First time, no.
We all assume it. I woke up yesterday morning convinced that the first time Hashem ever spoke to Moshe was at the Sneh. I went to sleep last night not so convinced because of one thing Moshe says. Lo ish dvarim anochi, gam mitmo gam mishoshom, gam me'az dabercha elav decha. What does that mean? I am not a man of words, not for a long time or ever, since you've been talking to me. Which means maybe Hashem has been speaking to Moshe earlier and raising him slowly, slowly as a Navi. And what did Moshe realize? When Hashem spoke to him, what was Moshe incapable of doing? He couldn't talk back.
Well, maybe
he couldn't talk back.
Could it be Hashem was
appearing in a dream? He couldn't talk back.
Something?
He couldn't talk back. He couldn't respond. So he realized, I'm not an Ish Dvarim. I couldn't talk back. And ever since you've spoken to me, I can't speak to you. If I can't speak to you, building on the Kal Vachomer from later, how am I supposed to speak to Paro? How am I supposed to speak to Bnei Yisrael? Both of whom are unwilling. Bnei Yisrael doesn't want to leave him. Paro doesn't want to let him go. That's the Kal Vachomer Moshe himself said.
No,
Bnei Yisrael wouldn't listen to me.
The Kal Vachomer, I can see that someone can't respond to God. But Paro is not God.
I understand. But you have to realize, Moshe uses a similar Kal Vachomer in his own words.
I saw that.
Right? And even though the Kal Vachomer we could attack objectively from the outside, subjectively from Moshe's position, it may work very well. So I'm not a person that speaks, and what's my best proof that I'm not an Ish Dvarim? These words, Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi, are deep into the story of the Sneh. What's been happening so far? Hashem said to Moshe, go. And Moshe said, no. Hashem said, go. So what's your name? Here's my name. So go. I need a sign. Go. I need some wonders. Go. What's the first most obvious thing that's clear? Moshe is not a very persuasive person. Lo ish dvarim anochi. In other words, he's not talking about his own ability. He's talking about what's happening right now. Up until now, I've never had to speak because I didn't have to speak because you weren't sending me. You were just raising me or giving me experience or whatever. And now you're telling me to go, so I got to respond. And my answer is no, and the no isn't working. If the no isn't working, how am I supposed to take it? So what's the solution? The solution is Aaron. Because Aaron is somebody who's never had to do that. Aaron is somebody who hasn't been exposed to it. It's almost like the distance gives Aaron the ability to do this. finally we come into Mitzrayim, and even though originally Moshe arrives with Aaron, and Aaron tells the people, and they do the signs, and eventually Moshe and Aaron are going to work as a team through the Makot, at the first scene what happens is, Hashem tells Moshe, okay, now you can go. Now you can go. And Moshe uses the same Kal Vachomer. I tried to tell Bnei Israel, it didn't work. You see? I can't talk to you. I can't talk to them. Nobody listens to me. And Hashem does not respond. He doesn't. The end of that, both those parshiot, is Moshe speaking. So what I'm suggesting here is that Moshe has had a history of Nevuah. This Nevuah is not the beginning. He's had a history of Nevuah. He's been raised as a Navi. And now, for the first time, the Nevuah comes with two things that he's never had before. One, a miraculous vision, which is what calls him here. And second, much more critically, is a mission. So his response to the vision is, what does he do? He hides his face. What's his response to the mission? He refuses to go. And continually throughout, when Hashem tries to get him to go, and Hashem's for some reason not saying, you go and that's it. He says, okay, I'll give you a sign. Okay, I'll tell you my name. Okay, I'll give you some miracles. Really? No, you know, I'll take care of it. Don't worry. Everything's cool. Moshe says, no, no, no. And then he says, Moshe finally says, why do you want me to go? You see that I'm not a persuasive speaker. And what's Hashem's answer? He says, who do you think's in charge of this whole thing? Mi sampel adam, which may answer Lee's challenge to the Kal Vachomer. Mi sampel adam. I'm the one in charge of this. So please don't tell me that Kal Vachomer, if you can't speak before me, you can't speak before them. It's all coming from me. And Moshe still says, send somebody else. And by the way, that's the most successful thing Moshe says in the whole time, because it's the one time that Hashem actually listens to him. Every time Moshe says, no, 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 it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Finally, he says, shlach na biyad yishlach, and Hashem says, okay, I'll send somebody else. It's a wild, wild turnabout. And so eventually, Moshe ends up going, but he ends up going starting with Paro, with Aaron. What metamorphosizes through the process of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Aaron slowly slips away from that picture, takes on a different role, and Moshe finally assumes the role of being the Ish Dvarim. And by the way, what is the name of Moshe's final speech? Ele HaDvarim. And that's where it comes to.